Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest this evening is Tim Challies. If you're not familiar with him, you haven't been reading the right books. He already has five previous books, The Discipline of Spiritual Discernment, which came out from Crossway in 2007, Sexual Detox, a guide for guys who are sick of porn, The Next Story, Life and Faith After the Digital Explosion, and then Do More Better, a practical guide to productivity. We've actually used that in staff training here at Ware's Valley Ranch. And then Visual Theology, Seeing and Understanding the Truth About God. Zondervan put that out in 2016. And his newest book is the one we're going to be talking about this evening. It's called A Visual Theology Guide to the Bible, Seeing and Knowing God's Word. Tim, welcome to the broadcast.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me.
Now, you talk about the fact that this is in response to a discouraging trend taking place in society where belief in the Bible has steadily declined over the past several decades.
Sure. Yeah, certainly. The belief in the Bible, people's understanding that the Bible is a sacred text and the kind of text that really underpins a society, that has faded into the background, mm-hmm. and that's prominent in America where you live. It's even more prominent in Canada where I live. And so we're just trying to introduce people to the Bible. And then, of course, even among Christians, knowledge of the Bible, a deep understanding of it, both in terms of its layout or its, just the ebb and flow of Scripture, its big story, and then yes. in particulars, all of that has gone into decline.
Well, and it's really sad because even among people who claim to believe that the Bible is God's Word and that it is true, that doesn't mean they know it. That doesn't mean they read it. It doesn't mean they put it into practice in their lives. There are a lot of people who would still profess to believe the Bible, but
sure.
it's not enough just to profess that you believe it.
Right. Right, yeah, and lots of people would say they believe the Bible, but they want to believe it on their own terms, right?
Yes.
So they'll believe the parts that are that don't cause them a lot of shame or that don't mm-hmm. grind too hard against the cultural ethos, but the mm-hmm. rest of it they'll turf out. So typically that involves creation accounts, that involves what the Bible says about human sexuality, and mm-hmm. those are the sorts of things that tend to get turfed.
Well, and what has saddened me is to see people who have been considered evangelical leaders either ignoring what Scripture says about key issues, like you just mentioned, or saying that, you know, it really doesn't matter. To come out and say that we just need to base everything on the resurrection and not try and defend things that are indefensible from Scripture. That was a position taken recently by someone who's considered an evangelical leader. And that's not evangelical, and it's not leadership. It is a lie.
Sure, yeah. And one of the things that's so important to see about Scripture is it is cohesive.
Yes.
You can't remove any part of Scripture or the whole thing begins to break down. And you can't isolate any one part of Scripture and say, this is truly God's Word and the rest is not. It's a Amen. Cohesive body of truth. It is the complete revelation that God has given us. And so we need to hold the whole thing together, not separate out the parts that we find palatable and unpalatable or the parts that we're comfortable with or uncomfortable with. We either have to accept the entire thing or reject the entire thing. At least be honest about that.
Amen. The Apostle Peter writes, as you know, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That's what the Apostle Peter said, and he got that view of Scripture, not just from the primitive times in which he lived, but from our Lord Jesus, who, speaking of what the psalmist wrote, what David wrote, he said he wrote as the Spirit directed him. That's God's word. It's not the word of man. And if people get away from that truth and begin to believe that they are the arbiters of truth, that they get to decide what's real and what's not, what's true and what's false, then it all falls apart. You're just building on sand.
Exactly so, yeah. And we have to understand that the Bible is God's word communicated through human beings.
Yes.
And even through the individual personalities of those human beings, which is why Paul does not sound exactly like Peter.
Right.
And that's the glory of Scripture, is it's not this body of truth that was dropped out of the sky upon us. This is people writing as they were led, as they were inspired. Of course, inspiration being that great Christian word to describe how the Holy Spirit brought Scripture from the mind of God to the pen of a human being. And it's a glorious thing and something we can really be confident in when we understand it.
Well, and I think your effort to provide visual images that will help people understand what the Scripture is saying and begin to see the cohesiveness of Scripture is a wonderful thing.
I hope so, yeah. And really part of our inspiration was that was looking to the Bible itself. And as we read it, we see how God himself used visual illustration. So if you go back to something like the Old Testament temple or tabernacle,
yes,
these were illustrations of truth. Everything there had a meaning beyond itself. And so as you looked at the tabernacle and you saw the priests going about their business, as you saw sacrifices being made, as you saw smoke ascending, all of these things had a meaning beyond themselves. And so we realized visual imagery can be hugely important in helping our understanding. And so we wanted to come up with images that would supplement the words.
Amen. Well done. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and stars that thou hast made. You know, when we look at what God has done, he has put out there these visual images for us. But you take it further in that you're speaking to this generation and you use images that are meaningful for us. They're biblical, but they're adapted to the modern age.
Right. So what we wanted to do was focus on a relatively new form of illustration, which is what you might call infographics or information graphics, and try to make something that's visually appealing, but also that contains qualitative and quantitative data that would really be interesting to people. And we really found there's some things that are very nicely illustrated or can be very nicely illustrated. So we're not doing what some have done, which is create pictures of Peter or images of Jesus being baptized. That's been done lots and lots. But rather trying to use graphic illustration to show some different forms of data. And I think I think people gain from that. I think people benefit from that. And you see so much of this outside the Christian world. We wanted to draw it in.
Well, I know that you have a tremendous talent in this regard, and you know how to create visuals that connect with people, that grab people's attention and quickly communicate the message. And so I commend you for that, and I'm grateful that you have applied your talents to this task.
Well, good, yeah, and we're really excited to see it come together, and I was just at a church down in Alabama last week and saw some of the posters on the wall, and it's just been interesting to see how people really are enjoying the opportunity to learn in this new way. And I never want to denigrate words, the power of words. God gave us Scripture as his word, and so that's good and precious. But being able to illustrate it, I think, really is powerful, especially for a very visual generation.
Amen. Amen. Now, you talk about why each book was written in this material, but also why the Bible can be trusted. A lot of these images or infographics undergird confidence in the trustworthiness of Scripture. Talk with us about that, if you would.
Yeah, one of the big attacks on the Bible today is that it simply is not a trustworthy book, that even if it has some good things in it, it is not innately trustworthy. And especially as you look at areas like science or sexuality, people keep wanting to say, more information has come along since then, and that disproves the Bible, or we need to update that kind of revelation. Mm-hmm. But we do our best to show that we can trust the Bible in a historical sense, in a scientific sense, in a cultural sense, and in every way. The Bible really is worthy of our confidence, both as a historical document, as something that adequately describes the time in which it was written. It describes mm-hmm. history mm-hmm. well, mm-hmm. But also in a book that can guide us well through life today as 21st century Americans, Canadians, seeking to do God's will. The Bible is a trustworthy guide for us.
Amen. I just returned recently from a trip to Israel and Jordan, and while we were over there, it was so much fun to see, even since the last time I was there, how much progress has been made by the archaeologists. The more they dig, the more they confirm the trustworthiness of Scripture. And our guide, who was a non-religious Israeli Jew, in private conversations was saying that he is now persuaded that Yeshua did rise from the dead, mm-hmm. Which is not a typical position of a secular Jew.
No, it would not be. Rather anathema to that viewpoint. But no, it's amazing. As you go to the Israel Museum there, and you see the Pontius Pilate stone, right?
Yeah.
And for years, people were saying that man never existed. He was not a real character. He was fabricated by Scripture, and then one day they renovate or they dig up this building and they find a stone with his name on it. And
yes.
Archaeology is just has its way of digging up the truth as they dig up the past.
And yes.
The deeper they go, the more they verify what the Bible has been saying all along.
And it is tragic that you've got preachers who are willing to sell their birthright for a mess of pottage, who in the interest of being credible to unbelievers, undermine the credibility of Scripture because they don't want to have to take an unpopular stand. They don't want to have to stand regarding sexuality or regarding creation or regarding the fact that Jesus is exclusively the way to the Father. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me.
Right, and if that preacher ought to do us all a favor and just step out of the pulpit, he's no longer serving his church, he's no longer serving the Church of Jesus Christ in that wider sense. He needs to get out of his pulpit and stop pretending to be a Christian leader. He's heaping
Amen.
Disgrace and scorn.
Amen. Well, and again, I think there's such a desire to be popular, such a desire to be liked, and such a desire, you know, even misplaced compassion, it's the same sort of thing on a different level that would cause someone to give money to an addict so that they can go buy drugs, because you just can't bring yourself to say no to them.
Right.
And, you know, you're not doing them a favor. If you make people comfortable on the road to hell, you haven't helped them.
No, exactly so. And the truth of Scripture, the truth of the Christian faith, is meant to grate hard against the world. It is to be unpopular. Jesus warned us it would be unpopular, and most of us grew up in a time where it wasn't so bad in terms of culture around us was generally amenable to Scripture. They were generally aware of the presence of a supernatural being in the world, and
mm-hmm.
they were okay with the idea of a rule or a guide coming from outside humanity to guide us. But
mm-hmm.
as people have turned against that, it's becoming even harder now to have to stand up and say, no, we really are going to take our sexual ethics from books written, the newest part written 2,000 years ago, and we really believe this can guide us better than anyone or anything else in the 21st century Western world. That used to be okay. That is now just a ridiculous thing to say. People hate hearing that.
Yeah, and again, there are people who are regarded as evangelicals
right.
who hate that and who say, you know, we just really can't defend that anymore.
Right.
Well, you don't have to defend it. You need to affirm it. You need to obey it. And Scripture will actually do a pretty good job defending itself. It's God's word. And it was the serpent who first said, did God really say?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So our job is to simply say what's true and to be willing to be unpopular, to be willing to be scorned, to be willing to be persecuted. And I think most of us, as we gaze into the future, we don't see how that won't be the case, how we won't really suffer for holding to something as unpopular as this.
Amen. And Jesus promised us that.
He did. And even better, he promised that he would be with us through it.
So, amen.
And that any suffering we endure here will be just swept away in this eternal glory. So we really have nothing to fear.
Amen. Tim, I'm going to ask you to talk with us a little bit about this larger context that you've been speaking of as far as what's happening in our culture. You are much younger than I am, and yet you are no spring chicken yourself. You've been around long enough to see in your lifetime a real decline in the culture. It's got to look a lot like Romans 1.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, yeah. So we're definitely seeing a decline in culture. What we're seeing is that your culture and mine, if we want to distinguish between our two nations, founded roughly around the same time, founded roughly upon the same principles.
Yes.
At that time, people were founding nations upon Christian principles. That's not to say my country or yours was ever a Christian nation, but certainly the founders of those nations understood that there was a God, and they wrote right into the constitutions of our nations that we were nations under God and all of that good stuff. What we're seeing today is an utter rejection of God, and people are now going back and systematically removing all the Judeo-Christian influences from our nation. So there's almost this witch hunt on now to find the name of God, to find any references to God or any higher power or any commandment outside our own feelings, and to eradicate that. So we're seeing this complete dismantling of what our nations were founded upon. They're uprooting the foundation of our nation.
Amen. It is tragic to me that throughout my children's lives, and of course my kids ended up being homeschooled, and then we started a school here at the children's home, but throughout their lifetime, if a teacher were to assert as truth that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness from the Declaration of Independence, if that was asserted by a teacher in the public schools here in America as truth, not just as a statement from the Declaration of Independence, but this is truth. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That would be grounds for firing in the U.S.
Right.
Because that's preaching. And, and likewise, when it talks about in the preamble to the Constitution, the blessings of liberty, that requires for anyone with a grain of intelligence that there be a blessor, that there's somebody doing the blessing, providing the blessing. And to assert these basic truths that were foundational to our society, to our government, to everything. I mean, you read the preambles to most of the state constitutions in the U.S., and you'll find much more frequently explicitly Christian statements of faith. Now, that, as you said, is the subject of a witch hunt. People are determined to root it out, get rid of it, and they treat this as being, and I quote, unconstitutional.
Right.
They say, you know, you can't say those things. You can't teach those things. You can't, because it's unconstitutional. It's insanity calling evil good and good evil.
Right, and you're taking use of the rights as you do all that, and you and I would affirm the right to free speech, so by all means, say that all of these things are terrible, but that very right of free speech, which is guaranteed by the Christian faith as it's embedded in the nations, even that will be eroded. And do you really want, if you really think forward to what a country will look like as that foundation is completely eroded and torn away, what will that nation be like? I think we can look forward and see that nation will be completely unlivable. It will be
absolutely.
It'll be just a horrific nation to live in. We see them around the world, and they're not the nations where people are endowed with rights and freedoms as they are now.
Yes. Well, the cure for this is not just education. The cure for this is a spiritual revival. And to that end, I would encourage folks, number one, to pray. There is no substitute for that. Getting together in focus groups is not going to solve it. God is the only one who can change hearts. And right now, we're seeing the wrath of God poured out, as I referenced Romans chapter 1 earlier. What that looks like is that God lets people go. He gives them over to their own devices. So pray, number one. But number two, I would encourage folks, get in the Word. Start listening to God. Don't just talk to Him. Listen to Him as you study the Scriptures. And that's where Tim's book has a wonderful potential to enrich your study of the Word, your understanding of the Word, and your ability to communicate that to others. So this guide to the Bible is something I want to recommend to our listeners.
Well, good. Yeah, I sure hope it can serve in those ways. And I hope if people are reading it, it's just giving them greater confidence in the Bible, greater love for the Bible, greater hunger for the Bible, and just causing them to return to God's Word and to read the Word, to memorize the Word, to pray the Word back to God, to just embed that Word deeply in their lives. And as we transition from being what you might consider Christian nations to post-Christian nations, everything around us is changing. But the Word of God, of course, is fixed and unchanging. So what's inside us will remain fixed and true. And so the more of that Word we've got access to, the better equipped we'll be to live with all these new realities as they change around us.
Amen. And please, folks, test what people say by Scripture. Don't just say, well, that person's an evangelical, or, you know, hey, that person's famous, or hey, that person's got a huge TV following. Don't go by that. That's not the test. The test is, does it line up with Scripture? In the book of Isaiah, it says, you know, you've got to go by what the Word says. Line upon line, precept upon precept, you compare and you see, is this consistent with God's Word? If it's not, it's a lie. Don't buy it. Don't believe it. And don't think for a minute that if we're saying things that people find offensive, we need to shut up. Our goal is not to offend. Our goal is to proclaim the truth. People need to repent and believe the good news. You can't really believe the good news without repentance. And you won't really repent unless you believe the good news. They go hand in hand. And so I want to commend Tim Challies for the work that he's been doing for years, faithfully sharing the Word in a compelling, persuasive, winsome way. And I want to encourage you, our listeners, to take a look at A Visual Theology Guide to the Bible. And Tim, thank you for coming on the broadcast and sharing with our listeners this evening.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure. Thank you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.